RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian government seeks to increase fisheries exports. Belgian embassy celebrates King's Day in Jakarta. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government is trying to decrease the import duty abroad, improve transportation system at home, and expand fishing vessels to increase domestic fish production in an effort to boost fishery product exports. The transportation system in outermost regions will be improved to shorten the delivery time to export hub regions or point of exports in order to maintain the freshness of fishery products. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is fighting for import tariff cuts for the country's fishery products imported by the European Union. Director General of the Maritime and Fishery Products Competitiveness Promotion of the KKP Nilanto Perbowo stated in a release on Saturday that the import tariff of Indonesian fishery products in the European Union was still quite high, at around 6-24%. However, a number of other countries such as Timor-Leste, Papua New Guinea, and Vietnam are believed to have secured much lower import duty rates. Some are not subject to import duty tariff. She noted that both the national and global industries are now acknowledging the government's programs that aim to create sustainable fisheries, among others, by selling quality fishery products with safe labels. The Embassy of Belgium in Jakarta celebrated King's Day in Jakarta, hosted by Ambassador Patrick Herman at the Belgian residence in Menteng Central Jakarta on Thursday. Ambassador Patrick Herman pointed out in his opening remarks during the reception that Belgium and Indonesia have been enjoying a mutually beneficial relations in various sectors, particularly in trade and economy. He stated that he believed that free trade should be fair. The fact is, the more and more palm oil products from Indonesia which have been certified are available in Belgium. The Belgian envoy emphasized that both governments of the two countries will work together to ensure the trade and economic relation can generate mutual benefit for the people of both countries. Ambassador Patrick Herman added that the commitment to strengthen economic cooperation with Indonesia was gestured by the visit of Princess Astrid of Belgium last year, when she brought a large business delegation along to invest and seek cooperation in Indonesia. The King's Day celebration in Jakarta was attended by Indonesia Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, as the guest of honor. Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said he is optimistic the Jakarta-Surabaya toll route would be operational to facilitate transport of Muslims celebrating Eid ul-Fitri in 2018. Every year during Eid al-Fitr, millions of Muslims leave Jakarta to celebrate it with relatives in the regions. Budi said when officiating the Citra Maja Raya housing complex in the Lebak district on Saturday that he appreciated the hard work by Public Works Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono in carrying out the construction of the Jakarta-Surabaya toll route. Completion of the Jakarta-Surabaya toll route had been delayed with many projects left idled by responsible developers, he said, adding therefore President Joko Widodo asked the Public Works Minister to take over to finish the project. The Public Works Minister received the order with risk of being fired if failing to finish construction of part of the Trans-Java toll route project in a year. It is predicted that Jakarta-Surabaya toll route could be operational to ease traffic, which would be busy ahead and during Eid al-Fitr. Construction of the remaining part of the Trans-Java toll route from Surabaya to Banyuwangi would follow in 2019. Surabaya settlements have become a concern among the public and architects in Europe during the conferences and seminars that have been held as part of the series of activities of Europalia Arts Festival Indonesia, which runs from October 2017 to January 2018. Staff of Information, Social and Cultural Affairs of Indonesian Embassy in Brussels, Anche Mailani, stated on Saturday that Surabaya Mayor Tri Risma Hari Ini was a speaker at the lecture on cities, the urban laboratory of Surabaya, the Kampung Experience, which was held at the Center of Fine Arts of Brussels. Mayor Risma Hari Ini explained a presentation on the contribution of traditional villages to Surabaya's development as it has become the center of economic growth in the city. Expert of City Planning and Settlement Professor Johan Silas from Institute of Technology of 10 November of Indonesia described the village as a modern and neat settlement and not a slum area. The valuable lesson discussed during the event was the way in which Surabaya activated the informal leadership of a settlement through village management units to manage the environment. Belgian architects considered the existence of village management units as a unique phenomenon because the units are not found in Belgium or any other European country. The House of Representatives has appreciated the cooperation of the Indonesian Defense Forces, or TNI, and the National Police of Polri to free villagers who had been taken hostage by the armed criminal group in Papua. House Commission 1 member Charles Honori said that the synergy of TNI Polri to free hostages from the armed group in Papua deserves appreciation as it shows a form of first-class cooperation that has saved the lives of hundreds of residents. Honoris noted in a written statement in Jakarta on Saturday that he highly appreciates the synergy of the TNI and Polri to free hostages from the armed groups in Papua. He added that under the government of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla, the TNI and the police could work in good cooperation. The cooperation between the two forces has achieved greater results, especially in security operations and while safeguarding the state sovereignty. Honoris remarked that solidity of both institutions will ensure the safety of Indonesia. Therefore, it should continue to be improved in order to maintain the defense and security of the state. The last item, the Indonesian men's double pair, Marcus Fernaldi Gideon and Kevin Sanjay Sukamulyo, managed to advance to the finals of the 2017 China Open Badminton Tournament. It was confirmed after the coveted fourth-seeded host Li Junhui, Louis Yuchan, with a 21-14, 21-18 in the big four face fight at the Haixia Olympic Sports Center, Fuzhou, China, Saturday, 18 November. Top-seeded Marcus Kevin are facing second-seeded Matthias Bo and Carsten Mogensen from Denmark on Sunday, 19 November. Listener, that was the news.
Listener, welcome back to our weekly segment of news from across the country. The segment which present interesting information from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Kampar Regency, Riau Province. A total of 2,000 students and communities Kampar Regency, Riau Province, on Tuesday, November 14, participated the Sun Three Nationality Ceremony in the field of Kartika Yonif 132 Bima Sakti Salo Bangkinang. A press release from the People's Consultative Assembly stated that the Santri ceremony was initiated by the head of budgeting agency of the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, Lukman Edi, was different than usual. The implementation of Santri nationality ceremony was in the framework of socialization of the MPR four pillars combined with a regional cultural art performance. On the occasion, a variety of cultural art, such as rhymes, dances, regional songs, were presented to the audience. The Santri came from eight boarding schools in the Kampar, which is known as the City of Santri or Kota Santri in Bumi Lancang Kuning. MPR Secretary General Ma'ruf Cahyono gave his appreciation for the Santri ceremony, which was held in coincide with the Youth Pledge Day and Heroes Day. According to Ma'ruf Cahyono, the socialization of the four pillars and the nationality ceremony are very important to be comprehended. Ma'ruf Cahyono asked the youth to keep and care the nation's founder heritages, namely Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, the Unitary State of the Republic of Indonesia, and Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or Unity in Diversity. The next story comes from Sabang, Aceh. The government of Sabang City continued to complete the preparation of Sail Sabang annual event, which will be held from November 28 to December 5, 2017. To enliven the Sabang Sail 2017 event, Sabang City Works Unit held a mass mutual aid and coloring a number of public facilities in the islands of the most western tip of Indonesia. The head of General and Public Relations of Sabang, Bahrul Fikri, said on Wednesday that the mutual cooperation coloring several tourist sites and other public facilities to welcome the Sabang Sail event, which will be held from November 28 to December 5, 2017. Sabang Sail 2017 with the theme Go to Sabang, the World Maritime Destination Gate is scheduled to open directly by Indonesian President Joko Widodo on December 2, 2017. The location of the peak of Sail Sabang is focused on three points: Sabang Bay or CT3 Port of Free Trade Area Company and Sabang Free Port or BPKS, Sabang Fair and Zero Kilometer Monument, Indonesia. The last story comes from Mamuju West, Sulawesi. A total of 68 participants of Kirab Pemuda Nusantara, who came from 34 provinces in Indonesia, arrived in Mamuju Regency West, Sulawesi Province on Tuesday. The youth was greeted with Sekomandi Ikat cloth weaving, which became one of the icons of Mamuju Regency. Participants of Kirab Pemuda Nusantara began to start from Mamuju Traditional House to Manakara Beach platform, accompanied by hundreds of students from various schools in the region. The arrival of Kirab Pemuda Nusantara participants was welcomed directly by Regent of Mamuju Hapsi Wahid and Vice Regent Irwan Pababari. The arrival of the youth from different regions of the Indonesian archipelago showed the spirit of nationality in various versions. Indonesia, which has various ethnicities, races, religions, and customs, needs an education about diversity that teaches the beauty of diversity to the young people from an early age. The expedition of Kirab Pemuda Nusantara 2017 go around Indonesia for 72 days, starting from Miangas Island, Talaut Regency, North Sulawesi, as the austernmost island from September 26 until December 6, 2017. That was the news from across Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1969. The Association of Football Player Pele scores his 1,000th goal. Pele, who was born on October 23, 1940, is a Brazilian retired professional footballer who played as a forward. He is widely regarded as the greatest football player of all time. In 1999, he was voted World Player of the Century by the International Federation of Football History of Statistics. That same year, Pele was elected Athlete of the Century by the International Olympic Committee. According to the Federation of Football History and Statistics, Pele is the most successful league goal scorer in the world, scoring 1,281 goals in 1,363 games, which included unofficial friendlies and tour games. During his playing days, Pele was for a period the best paid athlete in the world. Is from 1999. Shenzhouan, the People's Republic of China, launches its first Shenzhou spacecraft. Shenzhou-1, launched on November 19, 1999, was the first unmanned launch of the Shenzhou spacecraft. The spacecraft used was not equipped with a life support system or an emergency escape system. After orbiting the Earth 14 times, the command for retrofire was sent by the Yuanwang 3 tracking ship off the coast of Namibia, and after a successful re-entry, it landed about 415 kilometers east of its launch pad and 110 kilometers northwest of Wuhan, Inner Mongolia. And the last is from 1917. Indira Gandhi, an Indian politician, the third Prime Minister of India, is born. Indira Priyadarshini Gandhi, née Nehru, was born on November 19, 1917 and died on October 31, 1984, was an Indian stateswoman and central figure of the Indian National Congress. She was the first and to date the only female Prime Minister of India. Gandhi belonged to the Nehru Gandhi family and was the daughter of Jawaharlal Nehru, the first Indian Prime Minister. Despite her surname Gandhi, she is not related to the family of Mahatma Gandhi. She served as Prime Minister from January 1966 to March 1977 and again from January 1980 until her assassination in October 1984, making her the second longest serving Indian Prime Minister after her father. As Prime Minister, Gandhi was known for her political ruthlessness and unprecedented centralization of power. She went to war with Pakistan in support of the independence movement and war of independence in East Pakistan, which resulted in an Indian victory and the creation of Bangladesh, as well as increasing India's influence to the point where it became the regional hegemon of South Asia. Citing viciparous tendencies and in response to a call for revolution, Gandhi instituted a state of emergency from 1975 to 1977, where basic civil liberties were suspended and press was censored. In 1980, she returned to power after free and fair elections. She was assassinated by Sikh nationalists in 1984, less than a month before her 67th birthday. In 1999, Indira was named Woman of the Millennium in an online poll organized by the BBC. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's Spotlight. Today, it's on Indonesia reveals the key to the success of peat management to the international world. Stay tuned. The success of peat management in Indonesia received appreciation from the international world. Indonesia is considered to have a strong commitment in protecting the peat ecosystem, from the government to the private sector. This was stated by Eric Solheim, Executive Director of the United Nations of Environment Program, UNEP, in a press conference related to the Global Initiative Peatlands, or GIP, in Bonn Zone, Bonn, Germany, Wednesday local time. On the occasion, Indonesia, represented by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, together with the Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo, were invited to share experiences related to peat management. Siti Nurbaya said that the support for peat protection is a good sign of a concerted effort towards a good global peatland governance to strengthen economic, social, and ecosystem resilience. Indonesia has more than 26 million hectares of peatland, which is more than 12% of the forest area in Indonesia. With carbon content estimated at 6 tons per hectare at a depth of 1 centimeter, Siti Nurbaya said it could be a source of problems like emissions burn, for instance. Yet at the same time, if managed well, it could become potential solution in the context of climate change mitigation and adaptation. Siti Nurbaya re-emphasized Indonesia's commitment to prevent peatland degradation and peatland fires through the issuance of government regulation on the protection and management of peat ecosystem. She also confirms the ban of new land clearing of peat ecosystems for food crops and practice of burning on peatlands. In order to accelerate the recovery of peat after a major fire in 2015, Siti Nurbaya explained that currently there has been a peat restoration agency which is tasked to rehabilitate 2 million hectares in 2019 by the government and partners, also the private sectors. Related to Indonesia's success in suppressing forest and land fires down by 98% in 2017 compared to 2015, Siti Nurbaya said it was thanks to the publication of various regulations on peat protection and the synergy of handling the problem from the center to the regions. By managing the peat ecosystem wisely, the environmental impact can be minimized and greenhouse gas emissions are reduced. Meanwhile, international peat experts Professor Hans Jostein stated that the key to peat protection is related to the water factor, so the four main principles in peat protection from damage are making peat to be wet, keeping the peat wet, making the dry peat wet, and using the peat in wet conditions. Well, that was this week's Spotlight over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to the news in brief. Indonesian government seeks to increase fisheries exports. The Indonesian government is trying to decrease the import duty abroad, improve transportation system at home, and expand fishing vessels to increase domestic fish production in an effort to boost fishery product exports. The Embassy of Belgium in Jakarta celebrated King's Day in Jakarta, hosted by Ambassador Patrick Herman at the Belgian residence in Menteng Central Java on Thursday. Transportation Minister Budi Karyasumadi said he is optimistic that Jakarta-Surabaya toll route would be operational to facilitate transport of Muslims celebrating Eid ul-Fitr in 2018. Surabaya settlement management gets public attention in Brussels. Surabaya settlements have become a concern among the public and architects in Europe during the conferences and seminars that have been held as part of the series of activities of Europalia Arts Festival Indonesia, which runs from October 2017 to January 2018. Indonesian House of Representatives has appreciated the cooperation of the Indonesian Defense Forces and the National Police to free villagers who had been taken hostage by the armed criminal group in Papua. The Indonesian men's doubles pair Marcus Fernaldi Gideon and Kevin Sanjay Sukamulya managed to advance to the finals of the 2017 China Open Badminton Tournament. Listener, that was the news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, introducing Indonesian tourism from places of interest, art and culture, and to cuisine. Today, I will take you to Teluk Penyu Beach, so stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. The beauty of Indonesia is remarkable, one of the natural beauties of tourist attraction in Indonesia that I'll introduce to you all is Pantai Teluk Penyu or Turtle Bay Beach. Turtle Bay Beach is located in the district of South Cilacap, which is a distance of 2 kilometers to the east of downtown Cilacap Regency. It can be reached by public and private vehicles. Turtle Bay Beach or Pantai Teluk Penyu is one of the many wonderful beaches in Cilacap. It is called Turtle Bay Beach because once in this place there were many turtles that lived and bred around this place, hence the name Teluk Penyu or Turtle Bay. But now the turtles are rarely seen. This is partly due to the state-owned oil company Pertamina's vessel traffic that makes turtles unwilling to return to this place and immigrated to the beaches of Bali and Lombok. But with the big waves, tankers out of the harbor as well as the traditional fishing boats passing along the Turtle Bay Beach just add to the beauty of the atmosphere at Turtle Bay Beach. Turtle Bay Beach, which covers about 18 hectares, has beautiful natural scenery, cool air, a vast expanse of sand, and exotic waves. In addition, there is Nusa Kambangan Island, which has a white sandy beach located opposite it. Add to the beauty of this Teluk Penyu or Turtle Bay Beach. If you like fishing, the beach can also be the place of your choice. Along the entrance corridor of this tourist site, there are many craft shells and souvenir vendors. Pantai Teluk Penyu tourist area is mostly visited in the morning and afternoon by residents of Cilacap City and tourists from abroad. In addition, along the nicely range beach area, especially from the entrance of the tourist area, there are many stands of stalls selling dried salted fish and fresh fish ready to be directly grilled or cooked in accordance with the wishes of visitors. So, after enjoying the beauty of Turtle Bay Beach, you can relax while enjoying various seafood sold along the beach. Guaranteed, definitely exciting. Well, that was this edition of Indonesian Wonder, introducing Pantai Teluk Penyu or Turtle Bay Beach in Cilacap. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Until tomorrow with another edition of Indonesian Wonder.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Variable Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to our regular program, Miscellany, which today's edition is about ITB students create portable incubator for baby in disaster sites. Stay tuned. The incubator for treating premature babies is usually used in hospitals or health clinics. Institute of Technology of Bandung or ITB student has created a portable incubator. Amanda Putri, one of the team members who created a portable incubator, said that the device was designed to help evacuate babies at natural disaster sites. This is made by 5 students of ITB, namely Amanda Putri, Ismail Amin Yahya from Engineering Physics, Isra Ramadani from Chemical Engineering, and Zatia Muti from Product Engineering. This portable incubator is shaped like a backpack that is often used by nature lovers, but there is empty space in it that can be used for a baby. This incubator can only be used by babies of 0 age up to a maximum of 1 year. This tool is then equipped with various technologies. Although it is not a luxury technology, but this tool is considered capable of helping the evacuation of babies at the site of natural disasters. In this portable incubator, students attach cloth made from blankets and paraffin material which can make the baby inside feel warm. On each side is pestered with several tools, such as 3 pumps with 2 hoses connected to a membrane tube on the other side. According to Amanda, the pumps used are aquarium pumps that are useful for taking air around and going into the membrane filter. This filtering is necessary to reduce the risk of bad air in disaster sites, such as viruses or bacteria. This tool does have a significant difference with the usual incubator found in the hospital. Portable incubators do not need to use electricity and are not only used for premature babies. Amanda added that this incubator is created because she and her colleagues noticed that so far there is no security system for babies in the disaster area. The presence of this portable incubator can be suppressed to reduce the number of baby mortality in the disaster area. This incubator is created to participate in a student creativity competition organized by the Ministry of Research and Technology Higher Education or Kemenristek Dikti in 2017. 2019. Amanda said it took a year to make this incubator, including research and proposal creation. In general, this team has no trouble getting the materials. The team admitted they had difficulty in finding the tailor. Fortunately, this team found a tailor who is willing to sew this portable incubator. With this incubator, the ITB team has reached the national stage and got a silver medal from the ministry. Listener, it was miscellany for today. We will meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Mubashir Hussein Asher in Pakistan. In his email, Mr. Mubashir Hussein Asher told that he and his club members like our program. According to him, these programs give them full information of Indonesia about living standard and economy with all kinds of things. Hello Mubashir Hussein Asher, thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We also thank you so much for your compliment. Surely we will support your program where you will introduce our programs to news listeners and students, but we are really sorry. At this moment, we cannot send your request. Maybe next time we will provide them. Mr. Mubashir Hussein Ashar, we hope that you are not disappointed. Thank you. Special for you and your club, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song. will replay a letter from Miss Karabi Hazarika in India. She was listening to listeners' mailbag through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1332 UTC on November 12, 2017, and the symbol was 4444. Hello, Miss Karabi Hazarika. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. We also really appreciate because you monitor our radio. Yes, you are correct. Through this segment, we replay emails or letters from around the world and the listeners who listen to English program or other languages program. In addition, listeners' mailbag segment, we also have another interesting segment such as Indonesian Wonder. This segment tells about the beauty of nature throughout Indonesia. Not only nature, we also talk about our culture and culinary. You can also learn our national language, Indonesian, through our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, where we introduce Indonesian word by word. If you miss it or you cannot hear the program clearly, you can visit our website www.voi.co.id. Well, Miss Karabi Hazarika, keep listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report. Thank you. Listener, wherever you are, we will play another beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Aku pernah sempat terjatuh, kurang beruntung percintaanku. Tapi itu sudah jauh berlalu, kini kau hadir temaniku. Tak kusangka cintaku kamu dulu hanya teman biasa, tapi itu sudah jauh berlalu. Kini hatiku punya kamu. Setiaku
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a comment from Jose Socorro Cero Maranjo in Brazil. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through shortwave on frequency of 9525 kHz at 1944 to 20 UTC on November 12, 2017, and the simple was 34333. He also includes video he recorded on our transmission in the date of this reception report. In his email, Mr. Jose Socorro Cero Maranjo complained that he never received any replies from us. Hello, Mr. Jose Socorro Cero Maranjo. How are you? Long time we have not received your email. Hopefully you are in good condition. Thank you very much for the video reception report of our broadcast. We think our broadcast is quite clear in your country. Several times ago, we have sent our KSL card to your address. Haven't you received them yet? Because the card has never returned back to our office. But don't worry, because we will send it again to your home. Please be patient to wait for it and inform us immediately if you have received it. Well, Mr. Jose Socorro Cerejo Maranjo, we hope you always keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you, listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Bicara karena ku mau kamu, ku ingin jadi milikmu.
Lepas, lepaskan, lepaskanlah keraguanmu. Ku tak mau menunggu lagi karena ku mau kamu, ku ingin jadi milikmu.
Oh, jangan lama-lama, jangan lama-lama. Apalagi yang kau tunggu?
Oh,
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email, this time from Muhammad Haryono in Madiun, East Java. He was listening to our broadcast through internet streaming. Hello, Pak Muhammad Haryono. Thank you for your email. As information, listeners, Madiun is a city in the western part of East Java, Indonesia, known for its agricultural center. We are glad because, in fact, Voice of Indonesia is not only monitored by listeners abroad but also at home. Well, Pak Muhammad Haryono, what is your favorite segment in this program? Please send your reception report, suggestion, and criticism to our broadcast. Your input will improve our broadcast for the future. Thank you. Before we sign off our segment listeners' mailbag, we want to say hello to Aurora in Ukraine, Mitul Kansal in India, Mike and Kelsey in the United States, and also Rosal Answorth in Australia. We also thank you very much for Jawahar's visit to our studio. Hopefully, we can meet again next time. Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika. Thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Ternyata hanya kau yang bisa membuat aku tergila-gila antara seribu bintang terlihat.
Jangan kasihmu pergi, teruskan saja mimpi yang kau tunda. Kita temukan tempat yang layak sahabat.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.